Today's shir mesachta chulin daf nun hey, we will begin bezer Hashem is barach on daf nun dalar mabez, two lines from the bottom toshma. In our previous shir, Rav Nachman had begun a discussion where our Mishnah had identified a number of treifas that the size of the hole in the animal was the determining factor if it was a treifa or not, a sela or iser. And Rav Nachman had addressed, what is the halacha when it's exactly a sela? The hole is exactly the size of a sela. What is the halacha if the hole is exactly the size of an iser? Do we say ad v'ad b'chlal? Or ad v'loy ad b'chlal? And will it be considered a treifa under those circumstances? Rav Nachman's opinion was that they are considered a treifa. And therefore, when you have a hole the size of a iser, where that's the size that would make the animal a treifa, once it's already an iser itself, it's already considered not like less than an iser, but it's actually considered like more than an iser and will be treif. And the Gemara had attempted in our previous year, at the end of our previous year, to learn this halacha perhaps from a halacha regarding a rope that's attached to a bed, and the bed, and the question is about at what point would that rope still be tameh, and at what point is the rope not tameh? And that question was resolved, so the Gemara begins another place to discuss this question, and the Gemara begins by the halacha of Tumah Shrotzim. The Targ Dosha says, V'kol klicheres, ashiyipa mehem atoichoy, if you have a klicheres, as we've discussed many times in our shurim, a klicheres has a very unique halacha. The unique halacha of a klicheres is that klicheres becomes tamei for anything that's suspended in the klicheres. Furthermore, because of that halacha, that the klicheres becomes tamei only from what is inside the klicheres, so obviously, for klicheres to be considered a keli, it has to be have a receptacle for this tumah to be inside it. We also have learned that a klicheres, not like other kalim, that become tamei, and the way they become tar is by putting them into the mikvah. A klicheres, that isn't an option. Rather, the halacha by klicheres is shvirosan zui tarosan. We have to break them, and only when we break them do they become tamei. But actually, breaking them themselves is not going to be enough to make them tar. If when they were broken, they're still usable for their original purpose. And therefore, the Mishnayos Masechta Kelim, the beginning of Masechta Kelim, discusses quite extensively how much does a broken klicheres still have to hold that it should be considered useful for its original purpose to hold something, and therefore it's mekabel tuma, or how much does it, at what point is it considered broken? So says the Gemara, Toshma, the Mishnah, as I said in Meshechta Kelim, teaches us hadakish b'klicheres, small klicheres, hain when they are whole, with the karkoseim or the bottom of them. After the bottom of the klicheres, after they were broken, for tefneseim, or the walls of the klicheres, yoshvim, if they still could sit, shloimus sumachim, without any support, they're able to sit without any support, then the mount that they're still considered a kalim, and are able to recover tuma, if they could hold ketei sichas cotton. They could hold the amount to wash, the amount of oil you would need to wash, shmir, the smallest finger of a cotton who's just one day old. That, vadloig, and as long, vadloig, says the Gemara, this halacha, that if the original keli was a small keli, so if now the broken keli is still able to hold that much oil that you could use to smear the child, then the clay is still mekabel tuma. But, says the Mishnah, if this keli, when it was whole, was able to hold more than a leg of oil, so then if it's left over only the amount that could hold the oil that will be able to be smeared on the cotton's finger, one day old, nobody who has, explains the Gemara, nobody who starts with such a big keli, it was large enough to hold the leg that will still be mekabel tuma if it's only able to hold such a small amount of old. My laugh, and explain, suggest the Gemara, my laugh, isn't the Mishnah speaking about loig, klamata? If you have a keli that was able to hold just a loig, it's going to be considered like a keli which is small enough that even if it's just holding the amount of oil that it could be used to smear a small cotton's finger, it'll still be mekabel tuma. So if that's the way we're going to explain the Mishnah is going to be teach us that ad the ad b'chlal, that when the Mishnah said a loig, it meant a loig, ad the ad b'chlal, it means the amount that for that amount. So it's a kasha on Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman has been teaching us that we say ad v'loy ad b'klal. There's a fundamental question when we say that the keli originally was used as a receptacle, and therefore now that it's, as long as it's somewhat usable, it can be mekabel tuma. What is the halacha if that it's usable, but it's not usable as it was lechatchila? Do we say that it has to be usable in a fashion that was used lechatchila? It was used to hold oil, for example, as we just discussed. It will only be mekabel tuma if it could still hold oil. But if we use for a different purpose, saying, well, it's still usable because I could use it for oil, would not be enough. Or as long as it's usable, it doesn't make a difference if the use that I have now for it is different than the original use. Machloikis Rishonim. There's another discussion here in the Rishonim, Machloikis Rishonim. What will be the halacha as soon as the keli breaks? So it's saying that the keli breaks, we learned earlier, Shvirosan Zuah Terosan, as soon as it breaks, it becomes tar. What does that mean? But now we're discussing when it's still usable. So how do we understand that halacha? Does that halacha mean that even though it's broken, since it's usable for that, since it's usable, that's enough that it should still continue being mekabel tuma? But what does that mean when we say that it's going to be able to mekabel tuma? Does that mean that it's going to be mekabel tuma continuously, even though it broke? Or do we say if it broke, it's no longer mekabel tuma? Because as we've been learning, once something breaks, it's not mekabel tuma. But what we mean to say here is that it will, if it gets exposed to tumah again, then the halacha will be that it will be mekabel tumah. But the original tumah will fall away because the keli broke. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara assumed that we're saying ad v'loy ad, that we see from here that ad v'ad b'klal, and that a loig will be, that if the keli held a loig exactly, it's treated like it held less than a loig, and therefore it will still be able to be mekabel tuma if it could hold as little oil, just enough to smear the finger of a cotton. And I saw that the Teresh Yaakov says, why does the Gemara want to make that assumption? So Teresh Yaakov explains, because it makes sense to suggest that the Gemara is speaking about whole numbers. So saying a loig is treated less than a loig is a very easy way of understanding the halacha. We treat the loig like less than a loig. If we're going to say that a loig, if it holds more than a loig, it's going to be, if the leg is treated like more than a leg, then it becomes a very uneven number. Says the Marloi, we're not obligated to say this, because leg, once it's a leg, will say klamala, will say ad the leg ad beklal. Because, as he explains to Teres Yaakov, this rule wasn't really established because we want to use whole numbers. The reason this rule was established, suggests the Teres Yaakov, is because we look at it, what is the situation here? And if this is a situation that it's usable for a bigger amount, once it's a situation that it's usable for a bigger amount, that will be enough for the halacha to say that it is what it was originally designated for or not. So Gemara continues. Toshma, let's continue from the Mishnah over there. Loig vatsa, if the original keli was large enough to hold a loig till a saw, now it broke. Till when will it still be? When is it still going to be considered a keli? If the keli is large enough to hold a revius, malav. And again, the Gemara suggests, shouldn't we be saying that saw klamato, that when it holds a saw, it's treated like it's holding less than a saw, and the revius will be enough? Because if it's going to hold more than a saw, then the revius is not going to keep it, have the shame keli. So says the Marloi, and again, this would be a raya, that to the point that ad the ad b'chlal, not like what Rabbi Nachman said. Says Marloi, when the Mishnah says saw is already has a different shear, we're going to learn that saw is treated klamala like more than a revius. Tashma, let's continue learning, says the Mishnah. Saw vatsosayim. If the original keli was able to hold a saw tilososayim, the amount of the broken keli has to be big enough to hold a chatzi log. And again, my laugh, sosayim klamata. And again, a proof that we say that ad v'ad b'chlal, loy, says the Mishnah, it's not a proof. We'll again say that the halacha is that if an original keli held a sosayim, it's going to be treated, if original keli held a kasayim, it's going to be treated like malo. Says the Gemara, yes, we've been able to explain this Mishnah and Masechta Kalim, not that it shouldn't be a contradiction to what Rav Nachman has been telling us. But as the Gemara Vatanya, we've learned a Braisa. The Braisa says explicitly, loig kilamata, that if it's a loig, if it's holding a loig, if the original keli held a loig, we're going to treat it like it held less than a loig. Saw, if it's holds a saw, if original keli held a saw, it's treated kilamata as if it held less than a saw. Sosayim, if the original keli held a sosayim, it's treated klamata. Here, there's no way of saying other than ad, then we have to say that ad, the loy ad b'chlal, clearly different than Rav Nachman said. Answers the Gemara, we have a whole different approach to this question now. Hossam, when we speak about a broken kli, so the halak, what will be a chumrah by treating a loig like less than a loig, by treating a saw like less than a saw? And when we have such a question, the halacha, Rav Nachman will agree, we go the chumrah. When we're speaking an al gemara, where the halacha is, if it has a hole, as we began our shiur, the animal has a hole the size of an iser, the animal has a hole the size of a seller. Saying then that ad v'loy ad b'chlal is the chumrah. So what we're learning now, says Gemara, that the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Avuah teaches us the name of Rabbi Yochanan, kol shi'uri chachamim. Whenever Chazal teach us a shir, we always go lahachmer. Chutz mishir k'gris, the one exception is shir gris, shel k'samim. The halach is that a gris by a kesem, we'll explain in a second. There, the halach is that we're makel. So what we're learning here, again, is that there are different situations where we have to determine the shear, And the Gemara, one is, as we're learning now, a saw, the case of our Gemara. And again, say now to Rishonim, the discussion that we had in our previous year with the rope, we'll have a whole different approach, we'll have a whole different perspective to it. The perspective now will be, what is the Chumrah? And whenever it's a Chumrah, whatever represents the Chumrah, that's what's going to be the what we're machmer on. So the halach of a kesem, as the Gemara teaches us in Masech the Nida, the Torah says, v'ishi kesiyah zava dam yeh b'sara. Because the Torah uses the word b'sara, Chazal and Masech the Nida, daf mem amibayz, teach us that min a Torah, a woman is not considered tamei only when she has dam and she feels the dam coming out of her body. So if somebody just, if a woman just finds a stain, a blood stain on a beged, she's not tamei midaraisa because she had no hargosha. She didn't feel the dam coming out. Chazal, however, said that if a woman finds a kesem on her body, on her clothing, the loch is that she will be tamei. And Rashi explains the reason Chazal made that gezerah is because we're concerned that maybe she did have argosha, she did have that sensation, just she didn't pay attention. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos says that any dam that emanates from the makar of the body, we have to make tamei midrabanan. But this is only a tamei midrabanan. Since it's only a tamei midrabanan, so whenever we could suggest that the kesem was formed for a different reason, that didn't come from the woman's body, we're going to be more lenient. Now, in those days, it was very common that there would be insects, particularly lice, in people's homes, and people would even inadvertently, not even knowing that they're on their body, on their clothing, kill them. Of course, the blood that comes out of a lice is not tamei. So, however, the amount of blood that comes out from a lice is very small. So if Chazal said, if the kesem is smaller than a gris, which most Paiskim say is about the size of a dam, we'll assume that this kesem came from the macholis, came from the insect. And therefore, we'll say the woman is tahor. If it's bigger, so we can no longer assume that it came from the macholis, because women, because they don't give out that much blood, and we're going to have to say that it came, we're going to have to say from it came from the woman. This halacha is applicable, even bizman hazeh, where we don't live with lice amongst us, but this is the halacha. So says the Gemara, that since the whole halacha, as we just finished explaining, of ksamim is only midrabanan, so since the whole halacha of ksamim is only midrabanan, therefore the halacha is that such a kesem is not, that when we have a question, is it a gris? Was there a gris here? Or was there not a gris here? We will be lenient. Even though the Gemara just said when it comes to shurim, we're typically machmer. Taken, I mean, says the Gemara, makes sense to learn this way. The Ktana Lo Dahi, when we learned that Braisa that spoke about the rope coming out of the bed, Chamisha, if we learn a Braisa that says, if the rope is 5 Tvachim, Kamala, it's considered like a rope that's larger than 5 Tvachim, which as we explained in previous year, therefore is a usable rope. It can be used to tie the Kamal Pesach to the bed, and it's going to be Tomei. Asara, if it's 10 tefachim, so as we've explained in the previous year, once it's 10 tefachim long, it's not really usable. But the Braisa says when it's 10 tefachim, we're going to treat it lamata. So let's learn this Braisa. In the same Braisa, on one hand, we're being machmer, that if it's 5 tefachim long, it's treated as if it's longer than 5 tefachim. And on the other hand, when it's 10 tefachim long, we're treating it, then it's less. How in the same Braisa could we be machmer? The answer is, we always go l'chumra when it comes to shiur. The Gemara here spoke about if something broke, how much is it usable that it should still be makabel tuma? So the Mashah uses this halacha to teach us a very interesting answer to a famous question. We all know the question of the Beis Yosef, that what was the Hanukkah was a tremendous nes. They only found a small jug of oil, which was enough for one day, and it lasted 8 days. And the Beis Yosef asked the question, so yes, we understand the nes of Hanukkah, but what was the nes the first day? So Mashal suggests that the keli that they found was a broken keli. But it was a broken keli that it was able to hold less than a chatzi log. And therefore what the nes was that the clay cheres that holds less than a chatzi log is, if it's that big, is not mekabel tumah. So that means that they found something that they lit in less than, so they, in other words, what the Mashal is saying is they had to use a smaller keli. The reason they used a smaller keli is because it wasn't going to be, because if it was bigger, it wasn't going to be mekabel tumah. It would still be mekabel tumah if it was bigger, able to hold the oil. So they used a keli that held less than a chatzi loig. And when you have such a keli which only holds less than a chatzi loig, when it starts with a bigger keli, we're learning in our shir, it's not, that's the only way it's not going to be mekabel tumah. The nes that happened by Hanukkah was that even though it held the smaller amount than what is needed for candles on for oil on Hanukkah, it was still lit the whole night. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah about nitlat chol. If the spleen was removed from the animal is not a treifa. To which the Gemara says, Amar of Avir Mishmei de Rava, Loishan al Nital. When is the halacha that that it's not a treifa, if it was completely removed? Aval Nikev, if it has a hole, a puncture in it, then it will be a treifa. So there's a discussion, what does that mean? The Tferes Yaakov speaks about, does it have to have a hole all the way through, or any hole will make it treif? The others explain that the focus is not the hole and the tchol. The focus is, as we've discussed many times, the hole in the membrane around the tchol. It's most interesting, as the Gemara, it's most interesting, why is this the halacha? So the Farshim, many Mefarshim explain that the pain of removing the tchol, removing the spleen, is greater than the pain of a hole is greater than the puncture, and therefore a removed tchol is going to be kosher still, but a punctured tchol will be an issue. Masiv, ask the Gemara, Masiv Yosef Bar Avin, Retemer of Yosef Bar Zvida. The Torah says, V'cho behema, afresses pas v'shoy shah, ses v'shtey prosus, mal geber behema, ois techelu. The Torah says, kol behema, that anything that's part of the animal may be eaten when you shech the animal. So from this, we're going to learn later in our Masechta, that if we shecht a pregnant animal, and it has a baby in it, then the halacha is that we're allowed to eat that baby. Chaytach, and therefore the Mishnah on Daf Samaches is going to teach us, Chaytach mu'ubish b'me'ah, if somebody put his hand into the womb of the animal and cut off part of the animal, the baby that it was carrying, and then they shecht the mother, mutar b'chila, we're still allowed to eat this, because the shechting of the mother takes off the Issa Eva Menachai and any part of that baby in the mother's womb. However, if you cut off the tchol, the spleen, close the kidneys, and they now are inside the mother animal detached, they're considered Eva Menachai. And therefore, even though you shech the mother, it will not help to take off the Issa Menachai from the baby. But what do we see from here? The question is about eating the kloyus, eating the tchol, but the animal itself you're allowed to eat. So we see that an animal that has the tchol missing is not a treifa? And shouldn't that also be that if it has a hole in the tchol, asked the Gemara, should also prevent it from being a treifa? Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand that Mishnah. Actually, if the tchol is missing or punctured, it would be treif. And therefore, even the mother is also. We're not allowed to eat the mother either. So if that's the case, why are we focusing on the tchol? We should be speaking about the mother. Answers the Gemara, either the tanuresha, because in the resha we learned muta bachila, that if we cut part of the fetus, that it's in the mother. We're allowed to eat that fetus, and we're allowed to eat the mother, certainly. We're allowed to even eat the fetus, even though it was even cut inside the mother's womb. That's why Tananam say for us bachila, that you're not allowed to eat what's inside the animal. But indeed, the halach will be that you're not allowed to eat the animal either, because the animal has become a treifa. This is what we said earlier. Indeed, if it was punctured, that is more painful to the animal. And since that is more painful to the animal, that will make the animal a treifa. On the other hand, when we have a case where it's removed, that is not as painful to the animal. And since it's not as painful to the animal, then the halacha is that the mother doesn't become treifa. We learned further in the Mishnah, nitnu akloyus, about missing kidneys. Says the Gemara, Amar Rachs, Papa Mishmei Durav, Loks Bekoya Achas, if the animal has a diseased kidney, one of the kidneys is diseased, it's full of pus, treifa. Amri B'marova, so says the Gemara, that's Yisrael, they said regarding this halacha, V'hud Matoy L'kusa, when will that be the halacha? When the disease goes to makam charitz. In the middle of the kidneys, there is a crack. From there, the veins come out, and that's when it becomes a treifa. Veikam makam charitz, says the Gemara, what exactly is the makam charitz? He says, l'chivra, there's a white vein, the tusi masni, that comes below the hips of the animal that goes into the kidney, and that's when the animal will be treifa. So as Rashi explained, that what is the definition of a diseased kolya? The definition of a diseased kolya is that it's full of pus. He says, the Baal Iter says, not only if it has this pus, is it considered a diseased kidney? He says that if it doesn't have the regular color of a kidney, then the halacha is that's considered a diseased kidney. The Ramban says a diseased kidney means that if you pick up the kidney and part of it falls off, and that's that is a determination of a diseased kidney. Others say, I saw that this is the opinion of the Ravya, that the definition of a diseased kidney is a kidney that was wounded. And if the kidney was wounded, that is the definition of a diseased kidney. Says the Gemara, Omra Mechunya, Shaltena Lakot, Trafoidim Rava. Apparently, in the times of Chazal, there were Rabbonim who were experts specifically in the Hilchus of Treifa. And the Gemara says that they asked these Rabbonim who were experts in Hilchus Treifa, Varmali, and they told me, Hilchus HaKarachish Papa, the halachas like Rachish Papa, that if you have a diseased kidney, the animal's a treifa. The last halachas k'ravavira, not like Ravavira. The Ravavira said that we have a hole in the spleen, it's a treifa. However, loya moron, this that we said that the halacha doesn't follow like Ravavira, and if an animal has a hole in the spleen, it's kosher. Ella beklushe. If we look at the spleen, apparently it's thicker on one side and thinner on the another side. So says the Gemara, the halacha that we're learning now, that a spleen with a hole is not treif, it's only on the thinner side of the tchol. Ava besumche, on the fatter side of the tchol, and apparently that's where the tchol connects to the stomach, treifa. Then it's going to be treif. However, says the Gemara, V'i ishtaya by kevet den azov. If on the thicker part of the tchol, it still has the thickness of a din azov under the hole, that the hole didn't penetrate that deep into the tchol, that there's still left this layer of the thickness of a din azov, then the halacha will be that the animal is kosher. The Taz discusses a case where, in his time, this is Yerideh Simon Mem Gimel Sifkot and Beis, that apparently there were many calves that were born with a hole in a tchol. And the question was, what will be the halacha? And he says that the halacha is that there's a difference between a hole that was there. There's a difference, the Dagal Mervava, the Noida Behuda, differentiates between a hole that was there from the beginning versus a hole that formed later. And his raya is from what we say in Ashiyotzer. Because when we say Ashiyotzer, we say, Ubarabai, the kovim chalulim chalulim, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu created us with different holes in our body. What does that mean? He says, what that means to say is that if that hole was there from the beginning of the creation, that's not considered a problematic hole. And therefore, that hole that the Taz discusses, that is kosher. Says the Gemara, Amrim Merova, call a paisel, anything that would make an animal treif, bireya, when we have that on its lung, kosher bekulia. That this problem, which would be a problem with the lung, is not a problem with the kidneys. Shrei nekef. And the best raya, says the Gemara, is we speak about a hole. As we've been learning extensively in our perek, neka possible raya, if you have a coal in the raya, it's possible. The kosher bekulia. But if you have a hole in the kulia, it's kosher. And the Rashba says that this Gemara obviously is following the opinion, not like that there's, doesn't make a difference what type of hole, but every hole in the kulia is not a problem. Koshken hecha, the kosher bereya, in a situation where there's a problem with the reya, but it's still considered a kosher animal, certainly kosher bekulia, that would be a situation that it would be kosher by this, on a kulia as well. Maskler of Tachuma, the answer of Tachuma, the klolahu, is this a hard and fast rule? Very mugla. If we find pus, the kosher bereya, and we find it in a lung, the animal is still kosher, or possible kulya, but if we find pus in the kulya, the animal is not kosher. Similarly, for a mayim zaken, water that's clear, the ksher v'hacha, that it's kosher both by a reya and both by a kulya. So Rashi right away says, I understand the question that Rav Tanchuma asked by Mugla. Because first the Gemara said, if something is good by a reya, it's certainly good by a kulya, and mugla is a raya that isn't true, because mugla is good by a reya and not good by a kulya. But ask Rashi, what does the Gemara mean with this question? Mayim zaken, clear water, is good by both. So why is this a question? And because of this question, Rashi says that the Gemara quoted this halacha about mayim zaken, but it doesn't really have it's not part of Rav Tanchuma's question. But others explain what they meant to say was that we're learning that the kulya and the reya are very different. And therefore, what's a problem by a reya is not a problem by a kulya. And therefore, what's good by a reya is good by a kulya. If that's what was meant to say, that what the opposite of each other, so how can we say that mayim zaken are good by both? El Amar Rav Ashi. Says Rav Ashi a rule. Treifas kamadams la dodi. You want to compare different halachas of treifa. Ain't oimus with treifas doimus zu. We don't take that approach. We don't start saying, well, this is a problem here, it's not a problem there, or vice versa. Hilchas treifas are very unique because, as we've learned from the beginning of our perek, chut chaytcha mikan umesa, an animal could be injured in one place, and it will be considered treif. For chayt chamakan, because it won't be able to survive. For chayt chamakan, for chayso, and a different cut, the animal will survive. So we see that that isn't the determining factor, and comparing situations is not the way to go. Umayim Zakin asked the Gemara, Ksherim, says the Gemara, this that we just said, that if we found clear water in the kidney, it's kosher. Says the Gemara, El Lama, that slowly, when they're completely clear, Avla Chiri, if they're somewhat murky, then the aloch is, then Avla Chiri, if they're murky, then do we trefa. The Rashba says, what does it mean, Mayim Achurim? He says, what we would call cloudy water. If there was sand mixed into the water, and it would have the look like sand's mixed into that water, that's called Mayim Achurim. The Chitzili Nami Lo Maran, furthermore, said the Gemara, even when they're clear that was saying it's kosher, El Delay Surichi, if they don't give off a foul smell. Aval Surichi, if they give off a foul smell, then the loch is that the animal's a trefa. Koya, says the Gemara, Shektina, Bedaka, if a koya was large and then it shrunk, and we're speaking about a small animal, add pull until it's the size of a pull, which is a chatzi kezayis, that's going to make the animal trefa. Begasa, what means a shrunken kolya that will be treif, add another bananas until it's shrunk to the size of an average size grape. Says the Gemara, nitla aim shalah, if the womb of an animal, this piece of Gemara is in parentheses, we don't learn it. I saw that some suggest that this piece of Gemara was inserted by the Goinim into the Gemara. It's not part of the original part of Gemara. Nitl aim shalah, if the womb of a mother is missing, that we learned in our Mishnah, that doesn't make the animal a trefa. Tana, he, ha'aim, says the Gemara, that we find in the Gemara and Chazal many different words that are all mean the same. They're all different words for describing the womb of an animal. Tana hi o'aim, hi tarpachas, hi shalfuchas, and all of these are different words to describe the womb. For charusa b'day shemayim, we learned if an animal shriveled, if a long shevra b'day shemayim, then again it's ksheira. So begins the Gemara Tana Rabbanan. Is a charusa. What is the definition of a charusa? Says the Kol Shetzom Kareh Shalah. If the lungs shriveled and they look dry, if it happened b'day shemayim, that the animal was frightened because of thunder or lightning, and we saw that when that happened, the animal got frightened and it jumped back, and that obviously affected the animal. Then we see the lung shrivel up, ksheira. But if what happened was b'day adam, if a person made the animal frightened and that caused the animal's lung to shrivel, then the halacha is that the animal's trefa. And the simple way to Rishonim explain why is there a difference the way it got treif? Because if it got treif because b'day shemayim, it's going to get well, it's going to come back, it's going to heal. But if it happened b'day adam, then the halacha is, then it's a trefa, because that won't get better. The Tuashar says that's not the way to learn the Gemara. He says, because according to that, we should always check what happened to the Reya. Did it get better or did it not get better? And then therefore the Tuashar, very much in line the way we're learning in our Shiurim, he says that this is the halacha, no questions asked. But I saw that the Sefer Beis Dovid says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it got frightened b'day shemayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu frightens us, he frightens us only in a way that we should be able to accept that situation. So if it became that way b'day shemayim, we know it's going to get better because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have made it in a way that it shouldn't get better. But it happened b'day adam, people don't have the ability to control how much will what they do make a difference. And therefore, when it was done b'day Adam, it's going to be a treifa. I saw that a very nice svar. The Imri Peches says the svar. The Gemara Masechet Brachos says, "V'vay shem mayir shemayim, halavai that I yir shemayim could be k'day basav Adam. It should be on the same level of a fear of basav Adam." Of course, a very difficult statement. We're afraid of people more than we're afraid of Hashem. But according to this Gemara, he says we could well understand it. Because our Gemara here, we're learning that what's Charusa B'day Adam is more of a concern than Charusa B'day Shemayim. And therefore, the Gemara says, Halvai, that our Yerushemayim should be equal to the two different B'day should be equal to our Yerushimayim Abbas of Adam. Continues the Gemara. Rav Shimon and Lozoimer, Apidei Kalabrius. Rav Shimon and Gamaliel says the same thing is when it happened because of Bdei Brius, it happened because of an animal. But ask the Gemara, what does that mean? So the Gemara, Ibailahu. Rav Shimon and Lozoimer, Reishikoi. Is he coming to add to the ratio and saying that just like we're learning, if something happened b'day shemayim, it's not going to be treif. So too, if it happened by animals, it's not going to be treif. And therefore, if Shimon Loza represents a kula, or a seifakoi, we said if it happened by human being, it's going to be treif. And that's what Shimon Loza means to say. And according to that, Shimon Loza actually represents a chumra. Toshma, he says the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, the Tanyam, the Braisa says b'day adam, charusu b'day adam. If it's Charusu B'day Adam, it's Trefa. And says the Brisa of Shimon Loza Omer, Avidei Kolabrius, that anything that happened because of an animal is treated like it happened by B'day Adam and it's Treif. Says the Marava Babachana, Abakazim, and the Midbar, Rabba Babachana was traveling in the Midbar, Eshkak Chana Dikri, and he found these animals, the Tzomik Rei Dedu, that their lungs shrunk. Also, Shabbat Midrash, and he went to the Yeshiva to ask a question, how do we know what was the cause of that shrinkage? Bekaima Amalei, so what they did, told him was, Bekaita in the summer, where it's very warm, I say Mishkli Chevri, bring a bowl that's made out of white, earthenware, so that will cool off whatever is put into it. It shouldn't get overheated from the heat. Umalinumai query. I fill up that bowl with cold water, venchenu, mace lace, and then put the lungs in there for 24 hours. Ihadrin brarian, if we see that they go back and they come back to the right size, but they shemaim he, it's all right that this happened, they shemaim, it's kshera. Viloi, but if they don't go back, they stay shrunk, trefa. The sisfa, in the winter, where everything is cold, and we don't want that the water should be too cold. So therefore, I say, Mishka Shkumei, bring a bowl that's made out of black earthenware, or malinu mai pshurei, and fill it up with lukewarm water, then chinumei slays, and again, do this test by putting the lung in there for 24 hours. Ihadribari, if it comes back to its original size, kshera, v'loi trefa. And the purpose for doing this is because we want to have the right temperature of water. And the way we're able to have the right temperature, is this is the way to make sure you have the right temperature both in the summer and in the winter. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah Hagluda, if an animal is missing its skin, we had a machlokes Ramei and the Chamim. Ramei said the animal is kosher. The Chamim said it's posel. To which the Gemara begins. Tana Rabbanan, Hagluda, if the animal is missing its skin, Ramei and Machshir, Ramei says the animal is kosher. The Chamim poselim. The Chamim hold that it's posel. It says the Gemara, I hate Allah's Safra, the Yochanan ben Gogoda al Hagluda. They both said, Shepsula, that if an animal is missing its skin, it's treif. Honor of Shimon Lozer, Chosba Ramei. Ramei, who originally said that an animal that's missing its skin is kosher, he reverted and he says that it's awesome. Mechlal says the Gemara that the fact that he reversed his position, the Mechlal, the Shim Belazar Polig, the Ramei Bedin Gluda, says the Gemara, according to this, according to Shimon ben Elazar, Rameya is disagreeing with the Chachamim. But Tanya Amar of Shimon ben Elazar, Nechkar Rabbanim Chachamah Al Gluda Shepsula. The Kvayed Rabbi Shimon ben Noish Rabbi Huda, Habasal of Nehra Kiva Shim Rab Tarfan Al Gluda Shepsula. Vim Nishtai Basela, but if it has the size of a cella that isn't missing, Kshera. Because that if we have that amount of skin, it's going to regenerate and it won't, and therefore the animal is kosher. But according to this brisa, that Rameyer never disagreed. How do we learn that Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that Rameyer disagreed? Aram Nachman Yitzchak, Mai Lo Nechku. What does it mean, Lo Nechku? Doesn't mean that they never argued. What it meant was, Lo Omed Rameyer B'machlokosoy. He didn't follow what he originally said, and he changed his mind and said that it's treif. Amamar, so we just learned, says the Gemara, im nishtaiba kasela, if you have an amount of skin the size of a sela left on the animal, it's kshera. Everybody will agree that that animal is kosher. Ask the Gemara, hecha, where on the body is that skin that's left over that will save the animal from being treif? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, apnei kshedra kula. It has to be along the spine. Ibailhu, says the Gemara, what does that mean? Darach v'katan, if you have a long skinny strips, techimitzarfla, and if we'll take the entire area of that long skinny strip, we'll have a cella. Is that enough? Idilma, b'roichem cella b'nei shedra kula. But we have to have that this strip of skin that's on the spine has to be a cella wide. Tashma, says the Gemara, the parasha of Noah Mishmei de Shmuel, he explained that the skin has to be b'roich of cella, the width of a cella, apnei kol shedra kula, along the entire spine. Rabbi Bachana says that where do you have to have this? B'roshe prokim. On all the joints of the animal, Rabbi Lozav and Tignus, Mishum Rabbi Lozav, Rabbi Yani Aymer, but Makam Tepuroi, it has to be by the navel. Ask the Gemara, by Rabbi Yani, Rabbi Shmuel, you have to have, according to Shmuel, this strip of skin on the Shedra. What is the halacha? Nitl by Makam Shedra, Vekulekayim. If you have the strip missing from, and this is missing, but the rest of the animal still has skin. Do we say, since the animal has so much skin, the animal will survive, even though it's missing by the shedra? Or do we say, it could have a lot of skin, but if it's missing skin by the shedra, it will automatically be a trefa. Similarly, according to the mandam that says, we look at the navel. Nito b'makam taburoi. If the skin by the navel is missing, however, v'shar kulakayim, and the rest of the body of the animal has skin. Or according to the mandama that we look at the joints, nitl rosh prokim v'kulakayim, the area by the joints is missing, but all the rest of the skin is there. Mai, what will be the halacha? And the Gemara remains a taiku. So the Gemara now brings Amrav, kala or kula matzah b'galuda. Now, the Gemara says, not like we just learned. This opinion holds, as long as we have some remaining skin, that's good enough that the animal should not be considered a gluda. However, there are exceptions. Chutz mi'ar b'beis process, the skin that's at the hooves, Rav Yochanan Amar, afilu ar b'beis process nami matzo. He holds that even skin on the hooves will be okay. B'amnei Rav Asi, what will be the halacha if you have skin left by the hood? Amalei, and he said matzo. The Torah, when it speaks about Tumas Nevela, says v'chiyamisman behema ashilachem la'achla hanageil v'neglasa yidma ara arav. The Torah uses the word b'nevlasa. The Torah is teaching us, say Chazal, that the R is not metametum nevelus. Moreover, it's not mitzdarif to the kazayas. However, there are certain skin in the animal, we're going to learn later in the Masechta Daf Kuf Chav Beis, that are subject to Tumnus Nevelis, and they're considered like Boson, not like Or. Amale, so Rav Asi said to Rav Yochanan, Lamratanu Rabbeinu, you're going to teach us in the Mishnah, Eilo Erisen Kibsorim, the fouling skin on the animal is treated like the Boson animal, or based on process, the skin by the hooves. Amale, so you see that it's not considered like skin, it's considered like meat. Why are you treating it like skin? Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan responded, She'al takniteni, don't ask me a question from that Mishnah. She'beloshen yochad ani shani esoi. That Mishnah is only the opinion of one individual, and therefore it's not a question. What is the raya that Mishnah is not an accepted halachic Mishnah? The Tanya. The Brisa says, Ashachar esoil of somebody shechs akoila, lach the kazayas mi or, she'al takas al yechutz mekoimai. If somebody had a makshava, chutz mekoimai, on the skin that's found under the tail, posel. It becomes pigle, but it's no chorus by chutz mekoimai. Vein by chorus. If his machshav was chutz lezmanoi, it's not only disqualification, pigle, and it's a pigle that you chayv love chorus. Now, pigle is only effective if you're going to have machshav to eat something that's supposed to be eaten after the time it's supposed to be eaten, or to burn something after the time it's supposed to be burnt. The or tachas alya is treated like basar, and therefore it's treated like basar, so it's subject to all of these halacha. Eleazar, says the Gemara, Eleazar ben Yehuda ish evilim am mishim Rav Yaakov, v'kenar Rav Shimon ish kva ikus am mishim Rav Shimon, echad or beis process, the skin of the hooves, echad or roish shel egel rach, the skin by the head of a young calf, echad or shel tach sa'alya, the skin by the tail, v'kol shemona chachamim, everything that's mentioned in that Mishnah in the Gof Kabez, tuma, as far as tumas nevela, elush or sankim sorim. So what we see from here is, lahavi, what is that last statement coming to include? Or beis habayishus, the skin around the womb. Chutz mekayim, in all these cases, the machshavas chutz mekayim apostle, vein bekaris, chutz lezmanu, pigel v'chayavan lekaris. So we see that this is a subject of a machloikis between the Tanakama and Rav Yaakov of Shimon. According to Tanakama, whose opinion is mentioned anonymously, the halacha is of the or is not considered like basar. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that the Mishnah over there that says that the or is treated like basar is only a das yochid. Don't follow that opinion. This or is considered like or. And therefore, since this or is considered like or, all the halachas that we're learning in our sugya about or will apply to these iris as well.